Now, let's talk type 2 diabetes, because I was a little stunned to learn that an Aussie is diagnosed with type 2 diabetes every 5 minutes. It's occasionally known as so-called lifestyle diabetes. 1 million Aussies live with it, and a further 2 million are what's known as pre-diabetic. Now, CSIRO have just undertaken a 2-year study on how to best manage type 2 diabetes. To discuss the results, I'm joined by Grant Brinkworth. He's the principal research scientist at CSIRO. Good morning, Grant.
Hi, Nick. Thanks for having me.
That's an absolute pleasure. Look, I'm unfamiliar with the term pre-diabetic. What do you mean when you say that?
Well, pre-diabetes is on that continuum towards what we call diagnosed type 2 diabetes. And, as you indicated in your interlude there, that we have a lot of people with type 2 diabetes diagnosed, but a whole lot more with pre-diabetes. It's because people have become overweight and obese. They move to insulin resistance. Pre-diabetes is a condition where you're not able to tolerate the carbohydrate in your diet as well. Therefore, your blood glucose elevates. And if you sustain that elevation, you eventually become type 2 diabetic.
So, as we said, it's sometimes called lifestyle diabetes. Is it entirely lifestyle driven, or are there still genetic factors at work?
Oh, there are still genetic factors, as well as like age is a risk factor for type 2 diabetes, but they are really the predisposition. But what's really happening, and the reason why we're seeing type 2 diabetes become even more rampant, is because of our lifestyle choices. We do less activity, we're overeating, becoming overweight, and that brings on the type 2 diabetes.
So when you get type 2 diabetes, how does this actually impact your life?
Well, I mean, like having elevated blood glucose all the time is what causes a lot of the complications. So it affects your kidneys, your eyesight. Over the long term, it affects your quality of life. And also, eventually, if you don't control it with diet and exercise, you eventually have to take a bucket load of medications to control your type 2 diabetes, which have side effects on their own.
Wow, that does not sound like a fun way of going through anything. So you've just done a 2-year study on how to best manage it.
Yeah.
What kind of results are we looking at?
So I guess traditionally we've always managed type 2 diabetes with, you know, diet and exercise. But what we really wanted to understand at CSIRO is what's the best way of managing it with diet? Because we've always used a high carbohydrate, low fat approach. But the evidence now suggests, because carbohydrate has the biggest impact on elevating your blood glucose, what's the merit of these lower carbohydrate diets? So we actually sort of flipped the whole paradigm thinking around this. Wow. And we basically, based on all the latest evidence, not only at CSIRO and what we see around the world, it suggests that having a dietary pattern that's lower in carbohydrate and higher in healthy fats and proteins can better control that blood glucose. And that's exactly what we see.
Now, of course, we're talking scientifically around low carbohydrates. We're not suggesting you go all Pete Evans paleo or anything like that, are we?
No, so we've developed a nutritionally replete dietary plan. It includes food still across the whole range of food groups, all the food groups. It's nutritionally replete. It has adequate levels of vitamins, minerals, trace elements, fiber, which is really important. But it is a dietary pattern that significantly limits the amount of carbohydrate, because that's what causes the blood glucose to spike when we eat our food.
And did you look at how this interacts with exercise as well? Or were you specifically concentrating on diet?
No, because we wanted to look at if you deliver this particular plan as a holistic lifestyle pattern. So the two groups we had, at some following high carbohydrate, low fat, some CSIRO low carb diet, and all participants actually undertook best practice exercise principles.
Cool.
3 days a week aerobic resistance exercise.
Wow. All right. But overall, the absolute results were that low carbohydrate, when done with, as you said, nutritionally replete diet, is actually a great management tool.
Yeah, so both dietary patterns, we were able to get to lose weight, which is great. We were able to achieve sustained weight loss. But when you compare the two patterns together, you see that the lower carbohydrate approach helps to reduce your blood glucose variability. So that's that blood glucose fluctuations throughout the day. Mm. So you're basically better able to stabilize someone's blood glucose response across the day, improve their blood cholesterol levels, by greater reductions in triglycerides and increases in HDL cholesterol, which is the good cholesterol. But the most important thing that we saw following the low carbohydrate diet, you're able to reduce the amount of medications for diabetes required by 40%.
Now, just to check though, we are talking about management. No one actually recovers from type 2 diabetes?
Well, in research, this is becoming ever increasing topic about, can you cure diabetes? I think what the term that's being used is we become in diabetes remission. So we're never cured from diabetes, but we can actually reduce the risk factors to a level where you no longer would be considered to have type 2 diabetes. But I think that genetic and that predisposition is always there. So if you go back to the wrong lifestyle choices, the risk factors and the diabetes appear again.
And when we were talking about pre-diabetic people, can they benefit from a similar diet?
Yeah, I mean, like, because really pre-diabetes is really just the front runner to type 2 diabetes.
Right.
So the way we diagnose is you have normal glucose, impaired glucose, which is pre-diabetes, then you have type 2 diabetes. So really impaired glucose tolerance or pre-diabetes is really just that pre-step before you're considered diagnosed for type 2 diabetes.
So it's all a spectrum, essentially.
Yeah, and so I guess the dietary pattern that we've got, it's all about better controlling blood glucose and a lower carbohydrate, higher healthy fat diet is what will achieve that, and the results show that.
Now, you've got it out in a book, all this research, haven't you?
Yeah, the demand from, you know, we do some great research at CSIRO and our, you know, our readers and followers of the research always want to know how they can get hands on this research. So we've translated our academic, very nerdy scientific papers into an easy-to-follow step-by-step guide, which include, you know, meal plans, shopping lists and an easy to follow exercise plan, and it's all laid out there. It can actually be tailored for your individual energy needs, so you can actually follow this diet and get those benefits we've been talking about.
That's fantastic. When's the book out, or can we grab it now?
You can already grab it. It came out about a week ago.
Fantastic.
And it's been doing it's attracted a lot of interest, and yeah, so you can get it at all really good at all good bookstores. Go to the CSIRO website, it's there, but yeah, a lot of people are interested in it, get some great benefits, and we're excited by it.
Well, I'm pretty excited about it too. Grant, thank you very much for chatting to us this morning.
Thank you for having me, Nick.
Really appreciate it. Now, that was Grant Brinkworth, Principal Research Scientist with CSIRO. Give us the lowdown on managing type 2 diabetes. While we're talking about food, of course, we are doing the weekly feed just after the 8 o'clock news with Alison from BQ Blog. I can't promise that it will fit in with CSIRO recommendations. We are talking about crispy intestine snacks that go well with beer, but I can promise you that maybe you should read the book instead.